Welcome back to the St. Monica Mish podcast. I'm your host, Scott C., and today I have Ed Quiet with me to talk about some of the Knights of Columbus activities in just a few minutes. Thank you for coming today, Ed.
Great to be here, Scott. Thanks for asking me to be on with you.
I would like to remind everyone that this podcast process is something of which I know little about. So we're still at the beginning of the learning curve. So please bear with me as I keep plugging away. I hope to improve by God's grace and your prayers. So on to the bulletin highlights. Catechists are needed to teach our faith to the children of our parish during the school year. Classes meet every other Sunday. Please talk to Jackie Moody or email her, which her email address is in the bulletin, or just call the office. The 10:30 Mass choir season is coming soon. There's a lot of information in the bulletin this week, and you can contact Jessica Roberts in the rectory office. Please consider this service as the choir helps us lift our hearts during Mass. The Faithful 5K Run is August 16th, and there's a QR code in the bulletin. It takes you to a registration, which you can do, and it's very easy, which I did today. Ed, would you like to be so kind as to read the dispatch I received today?
Oh, sure. About the Parish Festival?
Yes.
All right. So, leading up to the Parish Festival, starting on August 19th, we're going to do a novena. This year we'll be doing Vespers every night, along with novena, 6 p.m. in the church. Hope to see you there. And then, of course, Rock the Rectory is back again this year, Saturday, August 23rd. After the 4:30 Mass, we'll have live music from our parishioner, Matt the Guitar Man Kennedy. Always fun to hear Matt and hi-fi to Wi-Fi. There will be a cash bar and a $5 dinner option. So plan on staying after Mass, 4:30 Mass. This is an adult event. Have a beer, have a little dinner, have a good time with fellow parishioners at Rock the Rectory. And then on Sunday, the 24th of August, after the 10:30 Mass, we have our corn and sausage potluck luncheon and parish festival. There will be bounce houses, an open gym, bingo, a whole lot more. So please be sure to stop by for that. Check the bulletin and the flock notes that come out every week for ways that you can volunteer. And on the Feast of St. Monica, August 27th, we will have a diocesan Mass at 6 p.m. for all those who have left the church. So if you know people who have left the church on, not on August 27th, they could have left at any date, but on August 27th, we're going to have a Mass to pray for those who have left from church. Left the church, that Mass will be at 6 p.m. on August 27th, the Feast of St. Monica.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, you're welcome.
I think you should do the announcements from the pulpit. That was fantastic. Or at least from the Yambo, I mean. All right, so I want to highlight the pilgrimage to Wisconsin. It's coming up in October.
Yes.
11th and 12th.
Looking forward to that.
There's only 50 spots left. I don't know how many is left now, but there's 50 spots available, I should say.
I don't know if it's a deterrent or might make you want to go, but Scott and I will be there.
Yeah, and I look forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun time. I know Father's going, at least as far as I know. And one of the stops is going to be the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion.
Yes.
Which is the only approved apparition.
Marian apparition site in the U.S.
So that's one of the spots. So either sign up now or you might lose out. Okay, now let's go on to the ministry moment of this podcast. What are some of the other ideas? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up here and let me check my notes. Ed, thanks for coming on the podcast to talk about the Knights of Columbus. You're a very active member in our council, and I asked you here today to go over some upcoming events.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we've got quite a few things planned currently and other plans that we want to put in place pending Knights' involvement in these things. The next thing we have coming up is we have a Knights of Columbus pancake breakfast on Saturday, August 17th. So after the 7, 8:30, and 10:30 Mass, come on down, enjoy some sausage and pancakes with the Knights in their aprons, cooking up for everybody. Free will offering if you'd like to. And I have to beg your forgiveness. I forgot what who we're donating to this week. This one. Do you remember?
The Family of
Yes, the Consecration of the Holy Family.
The summer camp.
Yes, the summer camp. We are so all proceeds will be donated to that. And the Knights buy all the supplies. Whatever you guys put in the donation box, we donate out. So thanks for in advance for all that you're doing. So we've got that coming up. As you heard, Rock the Rectory Parish Festival, we'll be working on both of those. So the Knights try to play a very active part in that. We've got a lot of guys that do things. It's really good time for fellowship. And I can report that if you, as a Knight, come work, we're once again buying our Knights of Columbus shirts that say Rock the Rectory, giving them out to all the Knights that participate in set up, tear down, corn and sausage roast, Rock the Rectory, whatever it is, we like to let people know that you're a Knight.
And that shirt, was that designed by somebody?
Dan Tran put in the winning design this year. You'll be seeing those purple shirts pop up right before Rock the Rectory.
Cool.
So then another new one that we've got this year, and hopefully we want to do this more and more, is support to Right to Life. So what we're going to do is sell raffle tickets for two seats to the Right to Life dinner. I believe the Right to Life dinner is October 23rd. For $20, you buy a raffle ticket. We've got a table of 10. We're giving away all the seats at that table. So for $20, you get a chance at two seats for the Right to Life dinner. It's a $230 cash value. Seats are $135 each this year. So look for those coming up. We'll be selling them in the back of the church here in the coming weeks. And we'll also be selling them at Rock the Rectory. We're going to be doing the drawing. And I apologize here. Let me get my calendar up. We are going to be doing the drawing the week of September 27th. I'll get back to you on the exact date. But at the end of September, we will be drawing those tickets. So again, $20, three for 50, six for 100. You get two seats at the Right to Life dinner. There'll be five winners from this raffle drawing. So be sure to look for that. We have, let's see, also coming up in the plans, we're going to be doing another steak, bourbon, and cigar night.
Nice.
We have not set the date for this. We've had a lot of people ask. Now, the couple of things we're going to be doing here this year is we're going to limit it to 25 people. So once you see this come out, get hold of us. The seats will go fast. We've had a lot of requests for this coming back. Price point will be $75. You're going to get a very good steak, grilled vegetables, baked potato, couple shots of whiskey, and a couple of cigars in there. So hopefully you can make it to that. It's a great night of fellowship, fundraiser. This is not, at $75 a plate, we aren't making any money on this. The Knights actually kick in some money on this. So come on out, enjoy an evening of fellowship with your fellow parishioners. It's sponsored by the Knights of Columbus. It's a 21 and over event, but anybody's welcome to come. So look for that coming up in the bulletin in a couple of weeks.
That sounds fantastic. I know last year I attended and it was great. Absolutely great. Anything else?
We're looking into doing a bourbon and cigar series. And what we're envisioning here is inviting different charities. The Knights of Columbus support the Gibault Home in Terre Haute and its companion, companion home up here in Hobart, I think it is, Griffith area, Campagna. And these homes, if you've never heard of Gibault or Campagna, they started out as kind of a boys' town thing where kids who have run into troubles in their life could come, be sent. And the church, the Knights of Columbus, the staff at the different Gibault or Campagna help you work through the troubles in your life and get you back on a good track. One of the very interesting things about these places is there's no fences here. If the kid decides to leave, he can leave. Now, of course, we work hard to keep them there. So that was the original intent, was a boys' town. It's grown into, they have men's and women's quarters for kids who live there on the campus. They do family services. They do crisis counseling, drug addiction counseling, a whole lot of things. So we're going to have, that said, we're going to have Campagna come speak at one of our cigar bourbon nights, where we'll meet down in the Columbus Hall, have a couple shots of bourbon if you'd like it, buy a cigar if you'd like it. All the proceeds that we get from that those sales will go to the speaker that comes that night. So look for that for coming up here in the fall at St. Monica's.
All right, well, thank you. All right, so that was a great ministry moment. I didn't know Campagna. I don't think I've ever heard of them as a sister house.
I apologize for not having more information on it. I know it's in the Griffith, Hobart area.
Oh, that's fine.
And the Gibault home paired up with them, joined up with them just a few years ago. We've had the Knights from the Northern Indiana District up here, over there helping rebuild the house that they've got, the campus that they've got. They put in a media center for the kids, you know, movie nights. They built some dorm rooms in there for them. So they've done some good work over there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks. All right. Well, I guess this is the part of the podcast that I just want to talk about and just have a conversation. Ed, you and I have kind of bounced around several ideas that we have just to try and get men of the parish or families to come out and just either support them with activities or just have activities together. I don't know if you have any ideas that you want to talk about that we can just bring up, because I want to bring it out there and you know, make some suggestions and see what the parish might want to be a part of.
I'm very interested in hearing that, Scott. You know, I laugh. Not too long ago, one of my grandchildren asked me, "What's the Knights of Columbus do besides cook pancakes?" And I had to chuckle, because for some people, that's all they know that we do.
Right.
And we're looking for those suggestions from our members, from our parishioners. What do you want to do? The Knights of Columbus is designed first and foremost to serve our parish and our church. The founding mission was to take care of the widow and the orphan. That's where we first started. But from that, we too have expanded, just like Gibault, and we do more. And we want to do things that are family-friendly and or fellowship for men. A good place for good Christian men to come together and do work around the parish. That's why we're involved in Rock the Rectory, the parish festival. We've heard of parishioners that were in need for moving assistance. We've helped with that. We donate to all kinds of things. We had an Eagle Scout come to us just this year asking for a donation to his Eagle Scout project. He gave a great presentation. We were more than happy to donate to his project. So it's men around the community, men around our church, working to support families and to support the parish. As Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul, said, The Knights of Columbus is the strong right arm of the pastor, and that's what we aim to do here at St. Monica's, is work with the pastor to do what he needs to have done, but also to build a fellowship for men, a place for them to come together and do good things for their parish. So we're always looking for new ideas. I laugh, you know, when my granddaughter said that about old men cooking pancakes, I thought, you know, we've got a bunch of old men who are the council leadership here, and it's kind of funny that we're trying to think up what the young kids want to do. So we are, and I say young kids, please forgive me, that's tells you my age.
No, I think the same way.
But the younger parishioners, you, the men who have 2 and 3 kids who are doing softball and soccer tournaments and basketball year-round, we understand. Mm-hmm. What is it we can do to help you and your families have an evening together, have an outing together, some way to help you feel the support from us and from your parish family to keep that marriage bond going? So the old men in the council are always looking for new ideas.
Right, and I think, too, that the Knights, you know, part of their focus is not just activities to get together, but also a spiritual aspect of it.
Yes.
So, you know, what are some ideas that we can have on the spiritual side to make sure that we're feeding the soul as well? I mean, I'm concerned personally with making sure that the young people have the young men or young families have an outlet that meets their schedule, but still can have a time of prayer. One of my big things is I'm trying to come up with an idea of a prayer time for the family or of men. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, you know, there is a rosary society that there's for women that get together and pray the rosary from time to time. And sometimes before Mass it's prayed. But I don't know if any men come together and pray the rosary. But so I was thinking, you know, and I haven't talked to Father about this yet, so it's not official. But I'm trying to develop something to where we have enough time to where we pray the rosary and maybe have just time to pray for your family. You know, pray for your family, pray for the parish, and then maybe out afterwards we could go out and have a beer or go out and have dinner or something like that. I'm not sure how that would all fit because I know there are challenges, because I've talked to some guys in the parish that there's challenges that at night, you know, they start putting their kids to bed at 7 o'clock.
Right.
You know, and I understand that, you know, they got to be there to help with that, or they take turns or whatever. That's, we shouldn't interfere with that. I mean, that's the family life. So I'm trying to figure out how that's all going to work. So, but let me just say, you know, for any ideas, I have an email for the podcast. It's kramertalk@gmail.com. That's CRAMER. Talk, one word, @gmail.com. So kramertalk@gmail.com. So please let me know what you think, and also please give your suggestions of any activities that you would like to take place at St. Monica and any things you'd like to volunteer for. Now, I mentioned at the last episode that I'm asking everyone in the parish to volunteer 1 hour for one event once a year. So please prayerfully consider helping our parish grow and be vibrant. And I'll be passing these on to Father as I get them. So we'll definitely have time to talk. And I'll keep you updated on things that develop. All right. Well, Ed, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I like what you said about the 1 hour once a year, one event. We all understand the busyness of the family. You know, Scott and I, we're at the other end of this. Our kids are grown. We have more time. But we've been through what you're going through, what a lot of people are going through. And I think it's important. I understand all the commitments that families have and all the things that they have to get to and the schedules they have to meet. But I think you also need to consider, what are you handing on to your children in life? And if rushing into church and leaving after communion is a trait you want to pass on, I'm not in agreement with you. So it's when you we try to put these events together to where you can come be a part of the parish life for a while. Your kids are going to remember this for a long time. Remember when we used to go to St. Monica's and go to the corn and sausage roast? We used to do that all the time. Remember when we used to do the Knights of Columbus free throw competition? Remember when we used to... So make sure that you build in time in those busy schedules for your kids to have warm memories of the parish life and the things we do around here.
Well, I think, too, my focus sometimes is on mainly volunteering, because we're always short of volunteers.
Yes.
So I like to emphasize that when you volunteer, it's not just what you give, it's what you get out of volunteering. I know you volunteer with St. Vincent de Paul.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for how long?
I think about 3 years now.
Yeah, so you're doing something outside of the Knights of Columbus, too. I mean, mm-hmm. you do several things in the parish and different activities. So, and it's volunteering like that, or even with the rummage sale. I noticed when we were doing the rummage sale, it's just the interaction of people.
Mm-hmm.
You can make friends.
With your parishioners.
You meet new people that you sit in a pew and you've never seen. Sandy was telling me about a story that she, and I can't remember the names, but somebody came up to her during the rummage sale, and she said, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. I sit two rows behind you on Saturday night on St. Joseph's side, and we've never met. But I see you there often because we go there to serve and you know, do other things as well. But just go to Mass on Sunday. We're at different Masses, so we go all over the place as far as Mass."
But speaking of Mass, so where do you sit? Now, I'll tell you right now, we are pretty consistent. You've seen the whole Quiet Clan on the St. Joseph side, somewhere between aisle or row 7 and 11. That's our sweet spot for Mass every week.
Now, we sit on the St. Joseph side, really close to the side door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what row that is.
Probably 4 or 5.
4 or 5, somewhere mm-hmm. around there, yeah. And we sit toward the center aisle. But I don't know if I should tell you this, but that's because that way Sandy can see and hear better.
Huh? So, I don't disagree with that.
So that's where I don't like sitting up that front. when I get to choose, I'm usually back by the confessionals.
Well, and I
usually going to say Joseph's side, though. It's kind of funny.
If you want to get a little something extra in your Mass, sit a couple rows behind us, because when all the kids are there, it's a circus. It's fun.
Yeah, but I loved it. I love even today in Mass. There were several parents, unfortunately, that had to get up, and some even. We went to 8:30 this morning, and they actually had to go outside. They went out the side door a couple times, and that's all part of. I mean, I applaud them. I because we didn't do that when our kids were young. We were Protestant back then, and we had nursery, so
keep them out of there.
Yeah, but they missed something, and that's why I challenge when I talk to if ever it comes up when I'm talking to people. It is a blessing to have the children there. They need to see you kneel. They need to see you participate. They need to see the whole process. They need to smell, you know, the incense. They need mm-hmm. they need it all part of that, and they need to grow up in that so that it becomes a fabric of who they are. And yeah, I know it's a challenge, and even Father mentioned that today in his homily at 8:30 anyways, that, you know, those with large families, how do they do it? He doesn't even know how his own parents did it. And I can't imagine. I mean, I only have two, and to have to deal with all that stuff. And, yeah, you have to walk. You know, you see the certain ones that walk up down the side aisles, and they go out and back, and they're out in the foyer area, and sometimes they go outside, and sometimes they go downstairs. And I feel sorry for them in a way, but that's all part of it. You know, that's all part of we got to do this. It's important. So.
Well, and it's a funny story about that. For you parents who are very busy, and you know you're at a soccer something, you're in Lafayette, you're in Fort Wayne, you're down in Indy, there's an app called masstimes.org. You can always find a Mass. So just this weekend, we were in Monticello, Indiana, at Lake Schaefer, family gathering, but we made sure that we got all the kids to Mass. And we'd never been to this church. I think it was St. Mary the Lake. I really don't remember right off the top of my head. But I got the Google Maps out, and I'm navigating. I got four kids in the back of the van. There's another car with another four kids, and we're driving there, and I see the church, and I say, okay, turn right into this parking lot. And there was a bunch of cars and people standing at the doors of the church, and one of my granddaughters said, are we Methodist now? So we pulled into the wrong church. So we zip through that parking lot. We get to the Catholic church. Mass has already started. The church is packed. But in true Catholic form, as we looked for a seat, we knew, well, there's got to be some open rows up in front. There usually are. So here we are. There was like eight of us traipsing down the center aisle during the opening prayers. But we got third row seats, so make sure you take them. You can always find a Mass. That's one of the great things about being Catholic. Make sure if you have that busy life, you still put the Mass in there.
Yeah, it's still important, and even on vacation. Yeah, we did that with our kids. We always tried to structure our vacation or trips around finding a Catholic church to go to. All right, Ed. Before we end this episode, I'd like to ask you two questions. Now, I ask everybody I'm going to interview these two questions. And I talked about it, last episode. So I'm just going to let you have the floor. What brought you here to St. Monica? And what do you like about St. Monica and tell others about?
So what brought me here to St. Monica? This is a kind of long story. I hope I don't bore you too much. And people that know me have heard this story. But we moved up here in 1996, and my wife would not let us buy a house until we picked a parish. So we did a lot of parish hopping, and we came to St. Monica's a couple of times. And every time we came here, so many people, they had coffee and donuts every Sunday back then, and everybody, there'd be four or five families that would come up and talk to us. And so we thought, this is the place we got to be. This is the most friendly parish we've ever gone to, and all of them. We went all over South Bend, Mishawaka, looking at parishes. Well, fast forward a few months later when we were now parishioners, Father Bill Sullivan, many of you will remember him. I'm at Coffee and Donuts talking to all these new friends that we've made, and Father Bill Sullivan comes up and says, all right, the couple over there at that table, they're thinking about this as a new parish. He's from Minnesota. She's from South Bend. If every one of you don't go over and talk to them before they leave, I want to see you in the confessional. So the people are really friendly, but Father Bill was very good at bending an arm.
Yeah, make sure everybody was friendly.
But one of the things I really like about being here now, St. Monica's is the Italian parish. I grew up in an Irish parish, so I was a little bit nervous, but I've been embraced by everybody here, and I think you will be too. If you know, new people, existing parishioners, get involved. This is a very welcoming, very friendly group of parishioners, and it's been a joy to work with most of them. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. It's been a joy to work with all of them. Some more joyful than others, but I thoroughly enjoy. As Father Jacob used to say, our church has more statues than an Italian gift shop. It's the baldacchini, the statues, the stained glass, the Stations of the Cross. I just love this church.
So is that what you tell others about? When you tell others on the street, or if somebody talks to you about they always ask, what parish you go to?
What parish, yeah. And yes, that is. I like the people here. You know, and sadly there are people who say, oh, I don't like this priest, or I'm here for that, or I don't want this. I'll tell you right up front. Every pastor we've had, I've loved, and I didn't care for. They're not the reason I'm here. Right. It's the people here in the parish. It's the community that we bring. It's the difference that we make in this neighborhood with either the Knights of Columbus, when we did the procession across the river, the witness that we made to the community here. our St. Vincent de Paul, we're making a difference, and we're making it with a great group of people. That's what I tell people who wonder why I go to St. Monica's.
Well, thank you for sharing, and I greatly appreciate your time here, and I just want you to know that I value your friendship, and I just want to thank you for coming on.
Hey, this is fun, Scott. I hope this is a huge success. I can see it in a couple of years. Everybody will be on the Spotify and podcast waiting for the next episode of Scott C. to drop.
Well, only God knows. All right, well, I like to remind everybody, St. Monica herself said, nothing is far from God.